expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds!
Woo-woo.
Oh, yeah. Waiting on it. Come on. What the hell is going on?
With all the children.
I didn't want to leave you hanging.
I was going to leave him hanging and see what happened, you know?
My name is Mark Kent. I am a university graduate of Hard Knocks with a degree in results, by the way. I am here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting, a ball of endless energy, an immovable object, an unstoppable force, a nature slayer of snowflakes, and she's heard more BS than a CNN
and
broadcast.
Keeps on coming. Look in the chat room. Talk about BS. Just got to put it in there.
Unbelievable, these guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's like the one comment I saw real quick was like, hey, you guys are lusting for power. From the guys who have all the power and don't want anybody else to have anything, so they're shutting down all legal methods of challenging them. These guys, they don't have a freaking clue. They're completely screwed up.
Well, let's just be honest. I mean, basically, at the end of the day, what it is they want a stranglehold on power.
Right.
And power is the only thing that they respect.
Right.
And therefore...
Well, except for the pundits that are clueless. They just go along with whatever propaganda they're, you know... Goes with the, yeah, it's just amazing. You got Chimenti up there saying, hey, I'm a conservative. That's why I voted left wing and spent all the money because I'm a conservative. It's insane. So anyway, the kid that rocks.
Let's move along.
The kid that rocks around the clock. Faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than high speed download. The 10th degree black belt and Ram Saber, Dave Johnson.
Good morning, and yeah, you're really not kidding. It's why I'm drinking so much flipping coffee.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I'm going to read a little bit about. This is from the law. This was written by.
Hold on. Hello, I'm here too, buddy.
Oh,
good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good call, Travis. I was getting there. All
Thank
right.
You liked me. At least one of them.
I know.
The Guardian. I need to turn you up because I couldn't hear you. The Guardian of the Magic Button of Silence. The Librarian of Bumper. The Time Bandit of Breaks. Keyboard Weaponry Specialist and Producer Extraordinaire. I'm saying, so I'm starting to talk like Biden. Extraordinaire.
Did you say Prada in there?
Prada, yeah.
You're like Prada.
Travis!
Well, my new purse is Prada.
That's in keeping with
week.
The time of the month.
You added last week. You added last week's banner of chats. You got to add that again. I'm two down today.
I know. It's crazy. I mean.
And like I said, these guys are worse than my 9-year-old.
I have
a 9-year-old daughter. She has
does this only happen on Sundays?
Only on Sundays.
Only on Sundays. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
I want to talk a little bit about the law here. I'm going to read this from Frederick Bastiat's The Law here. The proper function of law. This is page 18. And in all sincerity, can anything more than the absence of plunder be required by the law? Can the law, which necessarily requires the use of force, rationally to be used for anything except protection of the rights of everyone? I defy anyone to extend it beyond the purpose without perverting it. beyond this purpose without perverting it, and consequentially turning might against right. This is the most fatal and most illogical social perversion that can possibly be imagined. It must be admitted that the true solution, so long searched for in the area of social relationships, is contained in these simple words. Law is organized justice. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now this must be said. When justice is organized by law, that is force, that excludes the idea of using law or force to organize any human activity whatever, whether it be labor, charity, agriculture, commerce, industry, education, art, or religion, the organizing of law by any one of these would inevitably destroy the essence of organization justice, justice of the organization. For truly, how can we imagine force being used against the liberty of citizens without it also being used against justice and thus acting against its proper purpose? This is the seductive lure of socialism. Here is the popular fallacy of the times. This is back in 1850. It is not considered sufficient that the law should be just. It must be philanthropic. Nor is it sufficient that the law should guarantee every citizen the free and inoffensive use of his faculties for physical, intellectual, and moral self-government. Instead, it is demanded that the law should directly extend welfare, education, and morality throughout the nation. This is the seductive lure of socialism. And I repeat again, these two uses of the law are in direct contradiction to each other. We must choose between them. A citizen cannot be free and at the same time not be free. I mean, a citizen cannot at the same time be free and not be free. In other words, you can't say that we're going to implement whatever social justice we decide against people who are free, because that social justice deciding everything for everybody is completely contradictory to the idea of freedom. It's because you're always putting one person over another. You're always plundering from one to give to the other. It destroys liberty. Okay, so that's our little, thing with the law today. And, we can talk about the color of law. We can talk about authority. We can talk about civil versus criminal, all of the things that go with it. But the problem is that you've got these guys running around that are so brainwashed with the propaganda coming out of the media and their little, telephones and their tablets and everything else, that they have been so screwed up with the propaganda that when you have a legal recall using the law to unelect and choose other people.
Or give the people the choice.
Give the people the choice whether they won't approve of these people being in office. All of a sudden, we're lusting for power! Well, I mean, it's insane.
Here's my take on this, is that really when you break it down, there is one side of the aisle who wants complete and utter freedom to do anything they want without virtue. And our founding fathers were very clear about freedom with virtue. In fact, they've gone as far as to say without virtue, there is no freedom. They believe that there's one thing absolutely essential to a free society, and that is virtue. Sometimes the term they used was self-government.
Right.
But the interesting thing about this is that we have a new religion, the woke religion, that is springing up all over. And like this win that we just got from DeSantis here recently, where he ended up going through and banning critical race theory because these people are teaching children that you are racist based upon the color of your skin, and it's an immutable characteristic that you can do nothing about. That in itself is racism, and they're trying to say, no, we're just trying to explain this is a possibility, and they're trying to educate on what it is, but they're educating based upon the idea that this is truth, rather than this is an opinion and an idea.
A complete BS. Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up, because I have a couple of things that we're going to go and talk about. This article happens to be a medical journal labels whiteness as a malignant, parasitic-like condition, and there is not yet a permanent cure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Now, this is the Journal of American Psychoanalytical Association, labels whiteness as a malignant, parasitic condition nearly impossible to eliminate. Now,
It sounds like maybe the same journal that ended up getting that that one psychiatrist from last week.
How can a color be that? That's like saying, if you said that, if you replaced whiteness with blackness, these guys would be completely up in arms. People are individuals, raised different thoughts, different backgrounds. How can you possibly put that label on an entire people? Doesn't that go completely contrary to Martin Luther King's vision of people being judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin?
Let's break it down even more, because I feel like in some ways we're just preaching to the choir on this.
Sure.
It's the day in and day out. But let's go back to the movement of Occupy Wall Street. The movement of Occupy Wall Street in its infancy had a bunch of people who were conservative and a bunch of people who were libertarian and a bunch of people who were on the left. And
right.
They had all joined together. And that's what the establishment didn't want, is
right.
They didn't want us all coming together and saying, yeah, this is not taking place. And so – very quickly, we saw it move from, hey, the 1% are basically taking the money from everybody else, and they're constantly doing things that are making it harder for the average people to get by.
Right.
And they moved it very quickly into, oh, well, you're white, so shut up. Even back then.
Right. It's what it is that it's forming a dictatorship and silencing all opposition by whatever divisive means that they can. And then they get the morons that just buy into all of it, and they end up being the first guys to go to the ovens, is what it amounts to.
Well, and this is the interesting thing. You see this time and time again. So in the
over and over in history, absolutely, no question.
In the 1930s, prior to all of the bad that ended up starting to happen, at first, they started blaming a particular race. It was the Jews at that point in time. Those damn Jews. We need to turn around and take care of them, and we need to basically take their businesses away because they're messing with us. And this is what we saw back in the 1930s. So you watch it just progress forwards, and it just continues the push until people are ready to throw them in ovens thinking that they're doing the best for humanity.
Right.
Well, you look at what just
or they turn a blind eye to what's really happening behind the scenes. Well, they're not. I mean, part of the German populace said there's no concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's dying.
But this goes
like
back
right
even
now.
Further, guys. It goes back before that.
This
it,
goes back to the beginning
of
time.
They've been pushing the push.
There is
the push,
always
yeah.
a segment of the population that tries to enslave the population or a segment of the population for their own ends because they're in power, they control everything, and if nobody supported them, they wouldn't stay in power very long because there would be a revolt. They've got to sell you.
Happened.
That's right. They've got to sell you this crap sandwich.
Well, really what it comes down to is they have to sell you a narrative that
right.
you have an
right.
enemy. Because the problem is people without an enemy start looking around at the actual injustices within this world. Look at Big Pharma.
Right.
I mean, I think we can all come together and say, hey, it's not cool that Big Pharma is going before our Congress and going before our people in power and turning around lobbying them so that they can keep any form
or,
of competition
you know,
or generics out and make it to where they can just line their pockets time in and time
well,
out
it's
with
like this
grandma's
vaccine.
Medicine they need.
It's like this vaccine. Okay, you got the left for a long time. Big Pharma. Okay, right. So, but you're okay with Big Pharma producing a vaccine that's not tested, you can't sue them for, that's an experimental drug. And this is all facts. This is not shooting from the hip. Look it up. And then being forced to take it either at your workplace. That's completely against the Nuremberg Code. That's what the Nazis were doing. They were using experimental drugs on the Jews or anybody they locked up or disagreed with. And then once they got total control, it didn't matter who you were after that. You either did what you told or you shut up.
Well, and this is the thing that you see constantly, time and time again. I'm amazed even now how much information is still getting through on TikTok about the vaccines and about these things that we're talking about them being approved under Emergency Use Act only. Moderna actually apparently had a government stake within the actual contract to build this vaccine. Moderna's
right.
indirectly.
Yeah, and I guess
that's
Fauci,
where I was going to go.
You know,
follow the money here because
Fauci.
Who's benefiting for manufacturing this whole vaccine and the whole thing?
Well, now it's all coming out. Fauci lied. I mean, it's all starting to come out. But with that, what I want to do is I want to play a little clip here for you. This is from the Science Channel, okay? And this is the kind of science that, you know, we're getting. So are we all geared up and ready to go? Okay, so here we go. This is the Science Channel.
From an evolutionary perspective, woke people are the strongest, most capable form of hominoids history has ever seen. They're superior human beings. I'll explain what makes the woke apex predators on top of nature's food chain, but first, you have to understand, woke people didn't just appear overnight. In simple terms, evolution is what we do at a genetic level to win the competition of survival against other forms of life in nature. Now, evolution takes time, so to take a look at the woke's earliest human ancestors, we need to rewind the clock back about 10 years to the pre-Paleo-Wokolithic era. Back then, you had a primitive people known as Homo sapiens. These were a type of hominesses who survived using primitive skills such as strength, bravery, intelligence, and productivity. And interestingly, their species only had two genders. Then midway through this era, just after the world ended because of climate change according to Al Gore, the Homo sapien developed into Homo sapien justicus, or commonly referred to as social justice warriors. They were the first pre-woke ancestors who originated online hatred. It's believed they understood fire, and they also learned how to make weapons out of keyboards. And they began mating primarily with their own hands while staring at computer screens. That led us to the current Paleo-Wokolithic era that created the conditions for the Homo sapien non-binary woketicus to develop and thrive, or commonly referred to as the woke. They're a very advanced phylum of people who have evolved to shed what are now unnecessary prehistoric qualities, like gills, large canines, and self-responsibility. And along with developing the ability to have an inability to tolerate even the slightest bit of discomfort, they've also evolved to develop 72 genders. Now, when we've studied the fossilized evidence of primitive people, we've discovered strong evidence that suggests they did all their thinking in their brains. Whereas the woke carry around additional brains in the form of devices like phones, tablets, and TVs, which is where all their thinking comes from. Now, let's not forget how the woke became the apex predators at the top of the food chain in the first place. Was it by outwitting, outsmarting, or being stronger than their competition? No. It's because they canceled all the predators that used to be above them. It's an advanced capability that no other species in nature has ever achieved. The former predators at the top of the food chain, like orca whales, lions, and gorillas, made the mistake of competing against other species by being better than them. Unlike the woke, their lack of adaptivity to become degenerates clearly led to their downfall from the top step of nature's podium. The woke have gotten to where they are not by judging people based on the content of their character, but by judging them based on their skin color and pronouns. They've evolved to have no character, so it simply doesn't matter to them. Darwin's theory of evolution is survival of the fittest. Yet to better understand the genetic development of the woke, our scientific analysis of stool droppings from Hollywood celebrities, along with carbon dating Molotov cocktail shrapnel from downtown Portland, has proven that what's more true than survival of the fittest is survival of the outraged. Whereas those who archaically lived peacefully, productively, and lovingly have simply died off, because they weren't fit to survive. Now, the woke have a high degree of intellectual capacity for outrage, which makes them capable of even being offended by their own God-given genders. And where baboons speak a language of throwing feces at each other, the woke speak a language of virtue signaling at each other. And they thrive eating a diet primarily based in propaganda. When learning about the woke, it's best to think of evolution as a spectrum. Intelligence evolved into outrage. Freedom evolved into obedience. Love evolved into hate. And self-responsibility evolved into socialism. Studying ancient iterations of people reveals interesting hieroglyphic evidence that they worshipped a rather primitive interpretation of a non-human god. One that was all-loving in them and around them at all times, and to be trusted as the most important source of life guidance. Whereas the woke have several gods in human form.
I should stop it there. And the gods that they're picturing here are Biden, Zuckerberg, AOC, and Bill Gates. But it's okay because they're human. And so,
well, let's go back to Marxism. Karl Marx had a famous saying: "If God were to exist, it would be our duty to abolish him."
There you go. So, but the point I think too is that, you know, the, whether you believe in God or not, the idea that, you know, everybody should love everyone, do your, you know, the, you know, love your neighbors, yourself, the golden rule, as opposed to listening to humans that have agendas that twist and turn things for their own ends. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the, I think, more the point. And then we can go, I'm going to play a little more, and then we go on to the doublespeak 1984 crap. Because what they're doing is they're changing the meanings of words.
Literally at the dictionary level.
At the dictionary level, because, you know, if truth is no longer truth, it's whatever I say it is.
Well, it gets back to the math equation of 2 take away 1 is 3.
Yeah, it's kind of like 1984, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever I tell you is correct is what's correct. It doesn't matter. There's no solid set of rules. And that's part of what they're doing is through this despotic dictatorship of the area of ideas.
And let's be honest, they need to remove the freeways if this is going to end up working, because God forbid you have one of these common core engineers that builds this thing, you're going to have a bridge that's looking like it's out of flipping Willy Wonka.
So, let's move on a little bit. There's a little more here. Here we go.
Obedient to. The woke have advanced their genetic IQs to the point that they no longer base facts on truth. Now, this is an exciting intellectual advancement that previous hominous eras only could have imagined. And the advanced lack of activity in the cerebral cortex of the woke has allowed them to develop the ability to shapeshift objective reality, primarily by changing the definitions of words.
Okay, so we're going to go through a few definitions, because I think this is important to understand what they're doing. You know, racism crossed out is racial unity. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they do this with all kinds of different words, so that you can't really bravery. You know, comes from, you know, fear. You cross out fear, you got bravery, an unpleasant or disturbing feeling caused by the presence or imminence of danger. So, in other words, you're brave. If you're feeling a presence of danger, it's complete stupidity. You know, it's the opposite of what it really is. And so it just becomes, and there's quite a few of these words that they're using. Let me turn this down. Hold on just a second here so that we can go through this. Man, anyone.
anything?
You know, fascism is turned into anti-fascism or Antifa. Okay, a person who believes or sympathizes with fascism. So fascism was a person who believes or sympathizes with fascism, and now anti-fascism or Antifa is actually sympathizing with fascism, but they just call it that because then you think that it's something better than fascism.
Well, and going one step further. So last week, D-Day, there was a video that ended up coming out, and it was of Antifa being these brave characters just like they were on D-Day and painting them in the similarities of all the different things that happened on D-Day and how brave Antifa is right now. It's like, really? It's brave to go burn businesses down, shoot people in the street, steal, loot, riot?
That goes right into my next definition of a word, riot, a violent disturbance of the public peace by three or more persons assembling for a common purpose is now peaceful protest.
Unless it's conservatives, then it's insurrection.
Oh, then it's insurrection. Yeah. this is really true how screwed up this is. But this is right out of 1984. This is the narrative, and this is what they do. This is how they propagandize these people with complete lies that they believe are truth. It's like the Black Lives Matter gal. Oh yeah, Black Lives Matter. As long as I get my 6 million or my 6 houses that are worth over millions of dollars, and then the other guy just got in trouble from Black Lives Matter and Antifa. You know, it's like these guys are just people that are taking advantage of it because that's what human nature does.
It's really quite amazing how Marxism and socialism works until the group elites can be able to get everything and leave everybody else without anything.
Right.
It's amazing how often that works.
It happens every single time. That's the whole point.
But remember, it's only not worked because it hasn't been tried my way yet.
Right.
Yeah.
We haven't got the right guys in there. You know, and that's the thing, you know, government in our country was founded on you know, the fear of government oppression. It was founded on less, you know, government that governs best governs least. In other words, you want to limit its power as much as you possibly can and separate it so that it can consolidate into any one place so that you end up with a dictatorship, and now you got to have a violent overthrow or become a slave. And that's what happens. And not understanding that and changing the history, they got to change the history. They got to change the terms, the meanings of the words so that they can completely brainwash some of these morons into thinking that they're on the right side of things because they believe in liberty when their definition of liberty is doing what you're told by the guys in power.
And with that, we have to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
They're selling postcards of the hanging. They're painting the passports brown. The beauty parlor is filled with sailors. The circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker. The other is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless. They need somewhere to go. As Lady and I look look out tonight from Desolation Row.
Yeah, that's where we're headed, is Desolation Road here, unless we turn this, this ship around here. Little Dylan there, for those who don't know. And, you know, I wanted to...
Well, we got a couple callers, we got a lot of different stuff going, so let's get to our callers. The first one's Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Oh, yeah, morning. You know, I was interested in the infrastructure bill, and, you know, America doesn't want to be a slumlord, right? We own the bridges, we own the roads, and if we were to rebuild them on the cheap, we'd be nothing more than slumlords, and we'd be basically setting ourselves up for future costs because we didn't build it right.
All right, Dave, we're going to go ahead and answer your question off air. Thank you much.
Well, how come I don't get to respond? And I'm thinking LaMalfa, right? Congressman LaMalfa has got a thing about trimming the trees.
Because, Dave, you don't like to stay on standpoint. That's exactly why we're going to take you off.
Well,
there.
That's infrastructure,
right? Have a good
right?
day. Burning we'll go ahead and answer that. So you got a $6 trillion bill that has 6% of it that's actually going to infrastructure and a total of 94% that is just bloat on top of that. So you have $6 trillion. Now, mind you, up until the Bush era, we were at $4 trillion in total in our nation's history of spending. So I guess that's your question on there. Do we need more than $6 trillion to spend on infrastructure? And overall, we have $10 billion dedicated to removing freeways because they're considered racist. So that's that. We have Roberta on the line.
Well, I want to add to that before we get to Roberta. Okay, here's the thing. You know, these guys have the mindset that if we just keep spending money, that there's not going to be any problems. And I guess the fact that two-by-fours have gone up 400% is not a real problem unless you're... 900%, unless you are in construction. And I guess the fact that food has gone up, I don't know how much percent, but we're seeing a skyrocketing of everything across the board, and inflation. And of course the Fed says it's only transitory and temporary, which it might be because there's what's called the whipsaw effect where all of a sudden we deflate right before we hyperinflate. And so, you know, the idea that you can just keep going on and on and on and on and this is never going to have an end is what Germany thought right before their whole system collapsed. And so, you know, I think that these guys are trying to collapse the system on purpose. I mean, that's what
and
I think.
And it's not just the price that's going up, sorry, but a lot of things you can't even get.
Well,
let alone the price.
Let's address the actual issue of what's going on right now. You've got a $16 an hour average unemployment. So you got these people that are on unemployment to the tune of about 33 million people. The state of Arizona, for instance, is around 11 million people. So we currently have three states which are not working at all. We have open available jobs at about 7 million jobs. And people are not looking at the long term on this because you fast forward, this is September, and when they decide that it's unsustainable to continue doing this unemployment benefits for everybody at the same time while we've increased SNAP benefits by 40% last month to help incentivize people to go back to work. So now a family that was getting $600 a month is now getting $1,000 a month for their food on top of their unemployment benefits, not to mention the new increased child credit that is going to be giving anybody between the ages of 0 and 3, $300 a month, and between 3 and 17, $250 a month. That's all to incentivize these people to come back. And the Democrats get this great big idea that maybe we just should turn around and pay people an incentive bonus to go back to work. No, how about you actually make people go out and work to be able to give themselves what they need to survive? If you give somebody a fish day in and day out, you create a homeless person that is literally like going out there and feeding the animals. Why aren't you allowed to feed wild animals, but you're allowed to feed the humans?
Well, I
rant over.
You know, I posted this this little meme. Insanity. The definition is paying people not to work while taxing people who do.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of goes to it. Let's go to our
caller. Let's go to Roberta. Good morning, Roberta.
Well, good morning. Well, I thank you for the recording you've been playing because that is playing out in my family exactly as presented. At New Year's, I was at a very close family member's home, And he mentioned that Nancy Pelosi has been reelected. And I responded, oh, well, she'll be ruling with her iron fist. He exploded, ranted, raved, finally kicked me out of his house, wow, out into the darkness and the rain, and without my dinner in front of my grandchildren and, wow, two guests. So, I mean, but he does work for an international business company that is huge. They have 200 more employees worldwide. So you can see how this has been ingrained in our large corporations and business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of wanted to give everybody the definition of woke, okay, while we're at this. Woke is a term that refers to awareness of issues that concern social justice and racial justice. I'm sorry, gosh. It's sometimes used in the African-American vernacular English expression, stay woke. And that's what we're kind of talking about, is this whole woke culture of, you know, if your opinion is not my opinion, then you ain't woke. You know, and then you ain't black if you didn't vote for Biden, and, you know, I mean, that type of thing. So that.
To your point, too, Roberta, what we're seeing right now is we've been hoodwinked as a nation, because the Democrats, for the longest time, have been the party of the people. They've been the party of the people who were the underclass, the middle class, and the impoverished. But now what we see with the Democrats is that they are, without a doubt, the party of big business, big corporations, and big government, and make sure that they will stay in power forever. It's my problem with these companies like Amazon. Why are we subsidizing the packages to the tune of about $1.31 per package that's sent out? How can a mom and pop compete on that, on a $10 item, when Amazon gets to subsidize, let's say, a $10 item? You're subsidizing off close to about 14%.
It's kind of
already.
Like, it's kind of like the Board of Supervisors here locally picking and choosing. It's okay for Walmart and Lowe's to stay open, but little ma and pa has to get closed, because these germs are intelligence. They don't attack you in Lowe's or Walmart, but they attack you at ma and pa's.
Well, and my opinion over here on this is, this is coming down from a higher area than them. It's coming down from Sacramento and the elites within the government meeting with them and telling them, hey, we're going to give you $18 million if you enact all of these principles, which are going to, in essence, destroy your city, destroy our area, destroy your mom and pops, and make it to where all these big corporations are doing it. Really, what this whole recall is about, we need to get people who are in there who are actually going to speak to the average mom and pop, protect our businesses, protect our rights, and kick out these people that are working with tyrants to overthrow our freedoms.
And don't make your call because of the money. You know, don't that be the driving motivation?
That is the driving force. That's what has kept us in the lockdowns. That is what.
That's what
kept
I'm
us,
saying. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's time that we look to other things, like, well, we're supposed to be,
and let me,
people.
Let me give you an example. Okay, I was at the Board of Supervisors meeting this last week, and you know, of course, so they passed LBGQDSD,
oh,
whatever,
please, yeah,
month, right? Mm-hmm. And my comment is, why don't we, if we really wanted equality, why don't we pass old male Caucasian hardworking American Christian values honest conservative patriot heterosexual month, which would be the OMWGHACCP plus.
How about,
because that's
women?
Absurd, isn't it? Is that not absurd? But if I had put that up there on the board, in front of the board to be passed or to be voted, right, on, I mean, there would be a cry out, look at all, we were all woke up in social justice, this guy's a white supremacist, this guy's this. But it's okay for anybody who's in the woke regime
to stuff it down our throat.
To stuff it, you know, that should never be something the Board of Supervisors,
exactly,
is voting on in either,
exactly,
case. It's absolutely ridiculously stupid. So what it is they're pandering to their base so that they continue to get their votes, so that they can stay in power, and that's all this is about. You know, and then you get Chimente sits up there and goes, well, despite rumors to the contrary, I'm a conservative. Well, you know, I'm a flower because I say so. Well, I mean, come on. It's stupid because if you say you're a conservative, but you vote everything to pander to the left-wing ideological argument, then you're not a conservative anymore.
All we got to do is we got to start breaking these things down to their base rudimentary levels. What is Pride Month about? Pride Month is set up so that you have 1 month that if your company doesn't end up changing its logo to some type of rainbow-themed logo, then you will be berated by the woke community until you step in line with their values,
right,
furthering the institutional power that they have within all these woke corporations. And should you be like the cake maker who said, hey, I don't have a problem making you a cake for your gay wedding, I'll treat everybody the
same.
So
why don't we just have Free American Day, which would unite everybody, because this is about dividing everybody over issues.
So this was an actual case. You have a guy that said, I have no problem treating you equally and creating the cake of your dreams for this. You're going to have somebody else write that particular message on it because that's my freedom of speech, and it doesn't apply to my values.
And make my point.
Sorry, Roberta. Go ahead, Roberta. We'll give you the floor.
I just love that you can just segue right into your rants. They're great. However, my point is this. This was a person raised in a very conservative family who has completely bought everything that they're throwing at these people, and he's intelligent. So it's not intelligence. It's not their belief system. They're brainwashed totally.
Yeah, they believe it. They believe it. They've been propagandized by the media for so long that they really have a hard time with discernment of what is real and what is not, just like JP's saying.
Exactly. Okay, guys.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Speaking of JP, we're going to listen to the last little segment here. It's about a minute or two, and then we'll move on. Here we go. Here's JP again.
Staying locked in one's home for months at a time out of fear is an act of courage for the woke that would make the most courageous lion in the jungle look like a coward. We found the now extinct primitive people had what's called a backbone, which is in part what led to their demise. But through genetic adaptation, the woke have replaced the backbone with conformity. The woke have an impressive ability to blame other people for virtually any problem they encounter, which allows them to quickly and easily overcome any obstacle. Their blame, along with their strong ability to victimize themselves over anything, are chief reasons why we think they've been able to evolve to be so advanced in such a short period of time. This has been just a brief glimpse into the fascinating evolutionary biology of the woke. Stay tuned for more scientific discoveries. We'll keep studying the woke until they make our planet uninhabitable.
You know, that's such a good point. These guys blame everybody for everything. And, if you know, the whole blame thing is really simple. If nothing is your fault, then you have no correction on your own activity to worry about. If nothing that happens is your responsibility, you have no personal responsibility at that point. You don't have any, you don't have to correct your personal behavior at all. You can do whatever you want, and it's everybody else's fault. I mean, you know, you're rioting because, and you're burning things because they did something. You're stealing from other people, through legal plunder because they're the whiteness guys. They're the privileged guys. They have everything and you don't. It's all about causing division from the leadership. This is exactly right out of Machiavelli, you know, the prince. You want to keep everybody opposed to everybody else except you.
Yeah.
I've got a term I'd like to coin today.
Go ahead.
Cultural systemic Marxism within our school system, within our colleges, within our big government, within our big corporations is what's ruining this nation. You're telling kindergartners that because of the color of their skin, they are systemically racist and they grow up to be Democrats knowing that they're racist, trying to help the racism that they can never stop.
Garbage in.
But the people that are that been doing it for a while, usually if they're pointing their finger at you saying, you're doing this, you're doing that, it's because that's exactly what they are doing.
It's projection, absolutely.
Yeah, that's like it's that one exactly cartoon, what's though. Going on.
That one cartoon that we played for Ben and Jerry's, that cartoon where the guy comes in, the guy greets you, goes, "Good morning, it's a great day at Ben and Jerry's. I hate black people." Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's just what we actually ended up being told by corporate to be able to help express our white systemic racism. And honestly, when you start breaking these things down, one thing that they can never actually say is, what is systemic racism within our country? Name it to me. We'll help try to solve it together. So I actually came up with one that we all need to start working on. These social justice warriors out there, they have their sights set way, way too low, you guys. Okay, so within our solar system, it literally has system in the word. The sun reflects off of white people's skin more than it does the black people's skin because of the melanin content. So you know there by definition, the sun is racist. We have to abolish the sun and we can all die together. A man and a woman, let's do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And let's drink the Kool-Aid.
Okay, so here we go. Critical race theory defined by Wikipedia.
Oh, good.
Is an academic movement of civil rights scholars and activists in the United States who seek to critically examine the law as it intersects with the issue of race and to challenge mainstream liberal approaches to racial justice. Wow. I mean, talk about, you know, smoke and mirrors crap. Okay. You know, here's another one. This is Britannia. Intellectual movement and loosely organized framework of legal analysis based on the premise that race is not a natural, biologically grounded feature of physical distinct subgroups of human beings, but a socially constructed category that is used to oppress and exploit people of color. But I guess white's not a color.
No.
No, it's not. You're just kidding.
So
that?
You can. So if you're white,
you heard that, Crayola, take that crap out of the crayon box.
Yeah. It's not in the box.
You talk about
64 colors, but that ain't one. I mean, come on.
So is that not exactly what we were talking about changing the definition of words?
Well, how about the Federal Reserve? Federal Reserve warns employees not to use biased terms like founding fathers.
Huh.
What?
But didn't they do the mother thing too? We're birthing people.
Yeah, I'm
not making it up.
But what if you're trans? That's totally disclusionary people.
You can still, depending on which trans you are, you can still have it. I'm just saying. No,
they're called non-birthing people.
Yeah,
non-birthers.
So you are a birth denier now.
But what if you're a sterile person, but you're a birthing person? Where does that place you? Is that just put you in the non-birthing people range?
Well, it's complete nonsense.
I know. Let's go down this rabbit hole. I just want to find the freaking rabbit, man.
Caitlin or Ken?
Wait, but that's me, though.
I'm just over here, Keanu Reeves in The Matrix. Follow the rabbit. Where'd it go?
here's a little meme. China built the largest navy in the world while we focused on color, gender, and what cartoon characters offend people. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. These guys are worried about everything.
Well, and at the same time as this is going on, I mean, the real news that's actually taking on around us. Right. You've got companies like BlackRock. BlackRock in terms of GDP. You have the United States, which is first. You have China, which is second. You've got the GDP of the third largest country in the world controlled by BlackRock. And what is BlackRock doing right now? BlackRock is going through and buying up entire family subdivisions and all the houses that are on the market, and they're doing something.
Because
remember,
we don't need private property because we're all going to be better off with nothing.
Well, and when I say they're buying it up, I really mean you're buying it up. Because remember mortgage-backed securities where they took all the crap funds and they turned around and put them into these mortgage-backed securities
in
2008?
You mean the subprime lending industry?
Yeah, that.
Those guys, the big short deal?
Mortgages, you have this thing called a mortgage, and it ends up, the actual term meaning of it behind the French word is mortier, which is a contract until death. And so you have the premise that these people are going to continue paying. Well, guess what? BlackRock is now putting these homes that they're purchasing into rent-backed securities. You know, the kind that you pay on a monthly basis.
But you will own nothing, and you will like it.
So we'll put you in this atmosphere and take the roads away from you, and everything will be good.
I got a meme. I got to go back to the mom thing. Here's a meme.
Oh.
they want to remove the word mom and replace it with birthing people. We live, no lie, in the stupidest decade that has ever been since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. I mean, these guys are reality deniers. That's the problem. They live in fantasy land. You know, they live in propagandized freaking little boxes that they hold in their hands and push buttons on all day that make them feel like they're smart or somebody that has a brain.
Well, and last point on that BlackRock thing, because I'm not done on that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to do that.
It's okay. So the BlackRock is paying 20% over what the asking price is on these places to scoop up these homes, and they're getting them instantly. We had three homes last week that sold for $1 million over what their asking price was.
What's the problem, man?
And so you end up seeing these companies that are then putting them into rent-backed securities, which are then sold to the American public as though it's a good idea.
See, these are called derivatives.
Yeah, and at the same time, you have articles from your fake news media that's saying how millennials regret buying their homes and how they just want to be done with them and have it over with. Well, if they really actually just wanted to be done with them, why aren't they selling them?
Imagine.
Well, isn't that happening at the local level? Not Blackwater, but I think it's McConnell Foundation is up buying houses and doing kind of the same thing.
McConnell's always kind of been playing these games to
Speaking of the media, did you realize that CNN lost 70% of its viewers last week?
It made me.
What, did they all go out and get the vaccine?
I'm not sure.
That could be.
We are way in this insanity, are we not? It's absolutely unconscionable how far you can put the garbage in and how deep the swampy sewer goes.
Well, and to your opinion, so we just hit a highlight on one of the whole things with BlackRock. Well, let's talk about the next thing that's going on with China. How about the fact that all of our military just got spread out all over the ocean because they were considering the fact that China can just wipe us out when we're in one of these sitting duck areas? How about the fact that we stopped purchasing arms and munitions to be used in desert-type climates and started buying arms and munitions to be used in water-type environments and coastal regions? Huh, that's pretty interesting. That might mean that we might be gearing up for a conflict with, you know, China, who just on their state media said...
Hey. Stop it. I'm too busy waking up here.
Okay? Shut up, George Soros.
Stop it.
Too much coffee? You guys are turning me into fucking Ben Shapiro over
Buffett
here.
I'm going to be. Isn't that Warren Buffett's partner?
Ben Shapiro?
That was interesting because, like, so, yes, Warren Buffett does do some stuff with BlackRock. BlackRock also was one of these big companies that started, instead of pushing profits and talking about how they're going to do profit-based lending and things like that, they wanted to focus more on a quality-based lending, getting into this whole thing of your social justice score is going to be determining whether or not you get a loan for your business or whether or not you get a loan for your house.
Yeah, and all of that, yeah.
And in terms of commerce, too. How about the fact that most of these flight lines are not letting you get on a plane unless you've been vaccinated? These are common commerce places. By law, they have to allow you on. But if you don't want to get a vaccine that's emergency use only, hasn't been tested, and these new boosters are not going to be tested at all...
Wow, I feel so woke.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. For a virus that has a 99.7% survival rate on its own for an average healthy person under the age of 40. Like, I get if you're in the high-risk area and you're really concerned about it, talk to your doctor. But if you're under that, still talk to your doctor for legal reasons. But seriously, it's a 99.7% survival rate. You get up every day going out there, and at the same time as we're worried about this, we see the automobile deaths this last year, despite less people driving, have actually gone up. You have a greater chance of dying from a freaking automobile accident than you do from this virus within a healthy rage range and
lifestyle. But I'd be entered in a lottery and I could win money.
I'm going to get free fare tickets. What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about the money.
Yeah.
Well, and How, my biggest problem with this is at this point is how can we trust any of these people? Within
That's
the Fauci,
point, isn't it? They lie about everything.
Well, and within the Fauci emails we ended up seeing early on, they said that, hey, this is probably something that was man-made. It doesn't match up. It doesn't exist in nature. We can't give it to bats. It's a bat coronavirus.
They're
going to
cut us off, guys. We're at the top of the hour. I'd like to know what truth do they talk about. I just ask.
Oh, I'm going
to
hit this when we come back.
Okay. Stay tuned for
after
the second half of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The leaders of the world's richest countries have agreed to endorse a global minimum tax on multinational corporations. The decision had been widely anticipated after finance ministers earlier this month embraced a plan for 15% tax on large multinationals in order to stop them from using tax havens to avoid paying and thus robbing some countries of much-needed revenue. In Jerusalem, opinions are split over the vote on a new government ending Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's 12-year rule.
Naftali Bennett, the head of a religious ultra-nationalist party, is designated to take over as Prime Minister, with the eight parties, including a small Arab faction, primarily united only by their opposition to the Likud leader. But Jerusalem resident Michael Dayan isn't behind the plan, telling the AP he doesn't think the coalition will last more than a month. In contrast, Sharon Slackman is excited about the new development.
It's an example of Israelis living together, coexistence, you know, from all the spectrum of our nation.
Another supporter, Gilad Ben-Ami, acknowledges success is not a foregone conclusion.
I wish them luck.
I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Regulators will require automatic emergency braking systems on all new heavy trucks.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration will also set rigorous testing standards for autonomous vehicles and develop a national database to document automated vehicle crashes. The announcement comes 2 days after four people were killed in Phoenix when a milk tanker going too fast collided with seven passenger vehicles. Jason Walker reporting.
And Novak Djokovic has won his second French Open championship today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I have a traumatizing childhood memory of an Easter egg hunt. The big hunt was a big deal in our family, and I have this memory of running and excitedly reaching for eggs, only to have my big brother and sister sweep in and steal them at the last second. It's Ryan, and unfortunately, this is a traumatizing reality our Faith and Family Mortgage team is seeing from families across the country. Families are finding their dream home, only to have it pulled away by another hunter at the last second. At United Faith Mortgage, we unfortunately cannot scare off the other hunters, but we can very quickly get you pre-approved and make it look as good as possible to sellers. And then, once you do grab that Easter egg,
see our story and read how our direct lender advantage can often save your family monthly and lifelong money at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1335. REC NMLS number 65233. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
As more children return to the classroom and families look to restart their lives, back-to-school spending this year could top pre-pandemic levels.
That's according to MasterCard Spending Pulse, which tracks spending across all payment forms, including cash. It forecasts spending will rise 5.5% between mid-July and early September compared to a year ago when sales were up a modest 1.2% in the midst of the pandemic. Last year, parents focused their spending online and purchased supplies and electronics to help their kids set up workstations at home. Rich Thomason reporting.
With abortion and guns already on the agenda, the Supreme Court is considering adding a third blockbuster issue. That, whether to ban consideration of race in college admissions, the justices could say in coming weeks whether they will hear a case out of Harvard about discrimination against Asian Americans. News and analysis at townhall.com. Two Americans face justice in Japan for allegedly helping a fugitive company chairman under investigation.
Americans Michael Taylor and his son Peter go on trial in Tokyo Monday on suspicion they helped Nissan former chairman Carlos Ghosn skip bail and escape to Lebanon in December of 2019. The Taylors were arrested in Massachusetts in May 2020, extradited to Japan in March. Ghosn's charged with falsifying securities reports and breach of trust.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra, if convicted, the Taylors face as much as 3 years in jail and a fine of up to $3,000. Today is Sunday, June the 13th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including actor Malcolm McDowell, who is 78 years old today. Former U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon turned 77. Actor Stellan Skarsgård, 70. Comedian Tim Allen has 68 candles on his cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
That's the one out of the vault. Sly and the Family Stone. Wow. That's see, that was when it used to be. This is like early 70s, late 60s or something.
Early 70s, and
that's when the idea that everybody needs to live together and forget about the skin color and forget about the racist stuff.
You weren't offended anytime somebody said something.
Because the blacks were the ones that were targeted at that point. And now it's the whites and it's okay. I mean, it's like that whole thing at the Board of Supervisors meeting. Do you realize who the most persecuted race in the country is right now?
White Christians!
Think about that for a second. Why is that the case?
Well, and you look at what's going on. It brings me back to the Occupy Wall Street movement, and it brings me back to what was going on with that. What you had originally is you wanted people who really wanted answers as to why these companies are getting away with basically theft of business ideas. You look at Apple, you look at Android, you look at Samsung, and how many of these companies are just straight out stealing the patents of smaller people and then suing them when they end up running into these situations in court? How many times do we end up seeing that this litigation warfare against small businesses are completely fine, and at worst, if they end up getting caught, they have to pay a small percentage of the money that they've made through that theft and violation of that company, completely shutting them down and making it to where they can never operate as a business that would compete against these woke multinational corporations. Instead, what we have is this company just elected a gay disabled transvestite that is over here, and this is completely great. Let's applaud it.
Wow, I'm not even sure what to say. I'm still processing. it is crazy. All right, so I think we're gonna move on.
We got Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing awesome.
Fun never stops.
Oh, good. Good show, and Mark, you have a new nickname. It's Flower.
Flower.
That was hilarious.
I mean,
Great rant, brother. Great rant.
That's
one of your better ones.
That's why I identify as.
I was dying laughing. It was great.
I mean, why can't I identify as a flower, Terry?
I'm sorry. You can.
Yeah.
I identify as an AR-15, and Joe Biden's personally trying to ban me.
I didn't know whether you guys had touched on, at least we haven't heard, have you touched on what happened with Sheriff McGreeny yet or not?
No, but we've kind of touched, but we need to touch on it a little bit more, and that's what the second half of the show, I think, should concentrate some on, is this whole thing. I mean, are we just going to get another appointed sheriff every few months and never get an election? We never would have
because there was a law passed in 2018 that if a sheriff retires early or is ill or hurt or dies, then the Board of Supervisors shall appoint the successor to serve out the rest of the term that the sheriff would have had. That's one. That was in 2018. That's one. So they will select the person. Two is it's going to be James Barnhart, who's the undersheriff. He'll be the sheriff, I believe, starting on the 19th of June. He will be starting 18th or 19th in there. Also, Sheriff McGreeny, as you know, has got a job. It's not the deputy CEO. It's an assistant CEO. And it's the same crap they pulled with Modi at the city council when Modi was voted out unanimously to be police chief. And at the time, I think it was Starman who gave Modi a new job as an assistant to the city manager so he could spike his pension. You know, we keep getting this kind of stuff going on, and it doesn't seem to be there's nothing new under the sun. To quote Solomon, I mean, there really isn't. It's all the same things they've done before. They're just using it at a different level. So, yes, we will have Barnhart as our sheriff. Don't know the man. Heard good things. Heard, you know, pretty much. I mean, the deal is no, we may not ever be able to vote for another sheriff because once the sheriff actually assumes that taking over for that term, he, in essence, becomes an incumbent as long as he doesn't rock the boat for a year or so. Chances of him getting reelected is about 90%. So then he can go ahead and he can retire, and then they appoint his buddy and so on and so forth. But to me, I can't believe that they're picking McGreeny, someone who, as Officer Joe said, hasn't really supported hasn't really done anything about illegal grows like they've had done in Siskiyou County and Trinity, et cetera. Hasn't done anything, and someone who is going to be in charge of getting a jail when they have no intention of doing a jail, what they're going to do is bring back Measure A again with the detention facility and for mental health and, you know, dry it out everybody, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same old crap.
You know, how can they just appoint this guy as assistant CEO of Shasta County? I mean, what experience does he have? I mean,
none.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that it's because he was the experience as an undersheriff is an example of his administrative experience in the article that the Record Fleshlight, or no, it's KRC, or it should pretty, I think that's KRAP. No, that wouldn't be it. But they say that, you know, he's got experience because how do you get experience as an undersheriff in administration of a county? I don't get it.
Maybe has nothing to do with that. You know, I mean, you can have all kinds of different, there's lots of speculations. Let's just put it this way. Hypothetically speaking, let's say you did somebody a favor. Let's say you did somebody a lot of favors. Let's say your butt's on the line now. Well, now you're calling in the favors, aren't you? Right. Oh, by the way, who did drive Modi back behind the line?
I know!
Okay, so, I mean, the deal is that, so I'm just saying, you know, it's unbelievable to me, the corruption. And wait till episode 4 of the Red, White, Blueprint. We also just made a really good connection and also a very good lawful connection. There's a lot of things that are going to be happening over the next week or two, very good things for the people of Shasta County and, frankly, for the people in all the counties of California.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is that, you know, McGreeny just a week or so ago on Carl Bott's show said that he's not stepping down. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be – he's here. But I guess
he said he had four more years left.
Yeah. Now, so I guess that means to retirement or to being in the sheriff's?
To retirement. He had 4 years to retirement is what he said.
Right. But what do they usually do in government if somebody like this is caught you move them to someplace else.
Well, and you still get to keep your retirement.
Exactly, you know.
Oh, and it just grows. I mean, it's like these people in the Senate and Congress, how every 4 years.
Well, I know that Carl is going to have McGreeny on Monday.
Oh, he is. Oh,
at 8 o'clock, so Carl Bott's going to have McGreeny on. I don't know.
I bet that'll be a hard line of fun.
Well, you know, I don't know what he could ask him because, you know, it's kind of like when, you know, there was a lot of chatter going on about, you know, why nothing was brought up really on the radio on Friday. about this, and I think a lot of it was maybe that Carl, at least what he said, was that he wanted to make sure he had everything straight. Well, I mean, we heard it on the news. We heard it on the news all weekend. We heard it on every other program. Everybody knows that Barnhart's going to take over. Everybody knows that McGreevy's got this job, not as deputy, a CEO, but he is the assistant CEO. And so, you know, that, and also everybody knows that, that this has all been done. I don't know what question McGreevy can answer. Now, I did hear, I think it was this morning, that Joe said that there was a vote of no confidence. The deputies had a vote of no confidence with McGreevy, but then apparently that's been dropped or something, or it's been they didn't find anything wrong with his actions or blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying there was or wasn't. I just have no idea, other than trying to put on a happy face of why he would even have an interview at this point. I don't know what he could say in an interview. Do you guys know?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I would ask him the question is that who authorized this, and was he approached, or did he approach
That's
them?
That's my question.
And, and this absolutely has nothing to do with Modi being censured by the grand jury and him being the driver of him going behind the lines of the fire for personal reasons, and Tom Bosanko telling the whole story to the, you know, that this is what happened, and the grand jury convicting so he's being censured. In my opinion, he should be, fired or charged.
He should have to step down.
So, but this is all unrelated, right? It's just an accident.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're right about that. And when Les Baugh had spoken about it and read everything that Tom Bosanko said, and then according to the Record Searchlight interviewed Tom Bosanko, and Tom said that the reason he didn't bring it up at the time is because, get this, he was afraid that there would be something vindictive. Modi being vindictive.
No,
we don't have any of that
going
on.
There would be something
on.
Vindictive, and it would cost his department, it would cost the sheriff's office a lot of money. So he didn't want to rock the boat because he didn't want them to screw with their money. Well, here's something interesting. Gee whiz, who do you think plans the budget? And who do you think gives the money to the district's attorney's office? Do you think it's the state? Or, oh, no, wait. It's the supervisors. Oh, so maybe Stephanie, maybe, I mean, and
there's
like
no, there's,
said,
there was
he,
no pressure.
Right.
There was no pressure there to put on anybody out there to investigate anybody that's in the recall, was there?
No.
Well, here's the deal. I think that, Richard was great this morning. Like he said, she moved this off her desk. It was a hot potato. She moved it off her desk. She sent it to the Secretary of State. Well, if it was a criminal situation, why would she send it to the Secretary of State? That's more of an administrative
right.
move,
right.
You know. Now, if in fact, according to Richard, if in fact the Secretary of State says, hey, this holds water, there's something here, it goes back to who? Stephanie Bridget. But Stephanie Bridget didn't have anything. That's why she sent it to the Secretary of State.
So it's interesting.
But if there isn't anything there, why are you sending it anywhere? Why didn't you just let it die?
Hot potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
because it could be perception-wise. That's right, because it could potentially be illegal. Because if you're using your office to quell a legal recall that's happening by intimidating
Absolutely.
The people that are doing the recall with trumped up crap to scare them, then that would actually be a criminal charge.
Well, yeah.
And there's a big difference between criminal and civil, by the way. Criminal is when they can actually put you in jail. A civil is when you might pay a fine. And so so if they can't get a criminal, maybe they're trying for a civil. Who knows? But the real deal is this whole thing's, pardon the pun, trumped up to begin with.
I just want to get in here. I reached out to Stephanie Bridget, and I have not got anything back.
And you know what was interesting about that?
To call, to have her as a guest on the program.
Right.
Whatever would work, and it's been crickets.
I want to add to that. What was interesting about that conversation, because I just happened to be there at the time, is the fact that there was no referral between the elections office and the supervisors and the DA. The DA said that we didn't contact them, and the elections office says, well, we didn't contact them either.
Yeah, see, it had to start at the police department level. How did it get there and then progress? But anyway, I just wanted to get that out there.
I don't know if that's the start of the police department level or not.
In order to get an investigation, it has to start
with... The investigators weren't from the police department. The investigators were from the DA's office.
But that's where it's supposed to start.
It's criminal.
Okay. Well, you see what I'm saying?
They jumped over that.
Well, here's the deal. I think, again, you've got to look at the hot potato. She basically is beholden to the Board of Supervisors for her money. She gets a hot potato. Just saying, hypothetically speaking, maybe somebody's calling in a favor. So she sends out these two people to go see Ronin and to see Elizabeth. Goes out to see them. Doesn't tell them why they're there. Doesn't say anything. Why didn't they go to Kathy Darling's office? I mean, she's already verified the signature.
Right.
So, I mean, it's already gone through that legal process. So that happens. And then, of course, from there, it's kind of a hot potato. Well, what do I do with it? So she sends it off again to the Secretary of State. It ends up now becoming administrative. If it does become something where the Secretary of State is saying, oh, yeah, this doesn't, blah, 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 sends it back, then Stephanie Bridget has to be the one prosecuting it, right? Because she's the one who'd have to do it. So, but she's already said she doesn't know what to do, so she sends it off to the Secretary of State. So, I mean, the whole thing is just, it's just a matter of we're letting these people get away with things that are, dare I say, in maybe some people's opinion, criminal.
Well, you know, and a lot of the people are not getting this information out there through the media or anything else. And, you know, as long as they're getting their little lives, you know, the way they want it to be without any resistance from these guys, they're okay. But I think that we're picking up steam more and more and more. This kind of reminds me of an extortion racket. It reminds me of the guys going out saying, you know, you got some nice windows out on the front of your store there, you know. You might need to have some insurance or something so that, you know, things happen. They get broke sometimes. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
Well, there's a lot of and again, when you look at who asked for the investigation. Okay,
right.
Now here's the thing. A lot of people were saying it was Modi. Modi denied that he did it. Now, I'm not saying that he did or didn't, but that's what he had said to the news media. He had not done it. Okay, so if that's the case, could it be that all three of them? Now think about this. Who gets the money? How does the DA get their money? They get it at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors. So what happens is that, let's say one of them says, hey, you know, you've got to investigate this or we're going to dink with your money. But what if three of them say it? What if three? If three that are being recalled, again, hypothetically speaking, what if three actually say, gee whiz, you know, if you don't do this favor for us, then we're going to dink with your money. Now, again, this is hypothetical. You know, just having a little fun here.
What if
that's the case, then wouldn't that be a quorum of three?
Isn't that kind of a violation of the Brown Act?
Hold on. This isn't hypothetically. This is true. All three of them signed the letter that went to the FPPC in regards to the recall.
But they're saying they get to do that.
Three of them.
It's part of the campaign.
Now, I have that in black and white.
Wow.
So these guys aren't colluding behind the scenes in their position and violating my question is who cares about the Brown Act anymore? I mean, it has zero teeth. These guys do whatever they want. Nobody ever gets charged. Nothing ever happens. I mean, and there's no enforcement of the law to begin with because the guys that are enforcing their law in Shasta County are the guys that are beholden to them for the money and afraid to do anything in the first place. Take note of Tom Pasenko. What he said. What he said was he was afraid to step out and say something because they might ding his department of money.
I mean, that was in the record search fight. Yes,
that's not a problem.
Well, it is a problem, but nobody. It's amazing to me that there is so much lawlessness, and now let's protect a guy. He's going to get the favor paid back. We'll get in this position. Let's protect this gal. She'll get this position. Let's protect this one. Let's protect that one. Because it's all this good old boy system. And this is something that is, believe me, it needs to be dove in too deep, and it's getting dove in too deep.
It is, and it's getting exposed.
Well, we don't need to completely gut the current board of supervisors or anything, so that we can get some people in there who are honest and operating for the benefit of the people and upholding their constitutional rights and things like that, and making sure there's no interagency promotion of power, so that they do what they're told.
Well, yeah, and you're right, Mark, 100%. And, you know, the thing is that this Board of Supervisors, especially Mary Rickard, didn't want to use foul language. The public, we couldn't use foul language. But, and Travis, you won't have to hit the button because I know another word for the word I'm going to use. She told Les Baugh he was full of bull feces.
Bull pucky.
Bull feces, yes, but she didn't say feces. And the deal is that she said that, and then Joe goes, wait, Barry, you can't use that language. I mean, we just passed a law. We just passed something that now is part of our social contract. Seriously? I mean, we're letting them get away with this. That was the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. That she would say that. In a meeting after they went through a laborious, arduous situation to get it to where they're trying to tell the people who have the First Amendment right to say whatever they want, that they have to watch their language, and then she sits there and starts cussing.
Well, and I think that
it's crazy.
Because the thing that is missed in what you just said is the fact that she went off, and I was there, she went off.
Well, I was on.
Well, anyway, what she said, or and the reason she went off so deep in there, is because Les said that he should resign. He said you should, in all consciousness, resign.
Meaning Modi should resign.
Absolutely. Yes. That Modi should resign for this because, you know, they are twisting the legalese of malfeasance and with the, another term, the
misfeasance.
Misfeasance. One is the criminal thing where you lose your job and there's it could be charged and things like that. And the other is, we'll slap you on the wrist and you can apologize to everybody and we'll just move on and forget about this, which is censure has absolutely no teeth at all. And along with the Brown Act. And so she goes off because it's grandstanding. It's grandstanding for the public that she's, you know, tired of Les Baugh and his stuff. It's all grandstanding for this crap. And the ultimate goal is to not get recalled because to demonize anybody that's saying anything against them.
Well, let me ask you this. The whole gist of that R3 was to, if somebody disrupted the meeting, well, didn't Mary Rickard disrupt the meeting? Didn't she use foul language? Didn't she interrupt somebody? Didn't she disrupt the meeting? Why wasn't she kicked out of the meeting? Why wasn't she kicked out of the meeting? Why wasn't she kicked out?
I would have loved to see that. It would be like that.
She
should have been kicked out of the meeting. We should censure her. She needs to be censured.
I think it would be
broke
great.
Broke her own law. Broke her own rule. Her totalitarian evil rule.
I think it would be great. It'd be like the Jim Carrey movie where he says, the guy goes in the bathroom and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm kicking my ass.
Yeah.
Let's go to a break.
And with that, we'll go to a break. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
North State now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Medical advances have given us the gift of longevity. It also gives us a moving target when we're planning retirement. Because of this, some people haven't been able to live the lifestyle they're accustomed to. The good news? Reverse mortgages have been refined over the years. This gives us a great multifaceted tool for retirement. You could eliminate your house payment or buy an asset you always wanted without suffering the penalties from cashing in an investment. There are literally hundreds of scenarios, but the end product is you could live your life more comfortably. My name is Rich Pinnell with Primary Residential Mortgage, and I'm a reverse mortgage specialist. I've spent years helping seniors with financial issues solve their problems, and I would like to help you too. You can find me at Primary Residential Mortgage, 530-722-4579, or go to Rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
It's crazy, I'm the one who they labeled as controversial, and Cardi B is the role model for 12-year-old girls. There's rappers pushing Xanax at the top of the billboard, but if I mention race in a song, I'm scared I'll get killed for it. It's backwards, getting exponentially dumb. It's more difficult to get a job than purchase a gun. Eminem used to gay bash and murder his mom, and now he doesn't want fans if they voted for Trump. We're ashamed to be American. You should probably love it, because you have the right to hate it and not get stoned to death in public. As children, we were taught how to walk and talk, but the system wants adults to sit down and shut up. Cancel culture runs the world now, the planet went crazy. Label everything we say as homophobic or racist. If you're white, then you're privileged, guilty by association. All our childhood heroes got Me Too'd or they're rapists. They never freed the slaves. They realized that they don't need the chains. They gave us tiny screens. We think we free because we can't see the cage. They knew the race war would be the game they need to play. From people to big teams, they use the media to feed the flame.
Say so, fake woe. Facts don't care about.
That's Tom McDonald's Fake Woke, folks.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Mind Media, community radio for the North State. Your talk radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. And we're back at it. Wow.
Well, and this was in our last.
You know, this,
I think we still have Terry on the line. Are you still on the line?
Yeah, I just, you know, I know that, you know, it on Facebook, they do a lot of things, like they know who you are. If you're going to chat, they know who you are. If things are going to be written or said, you have to own up to it. And, you know, that's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But the point is that it's being done. They know who you are. In most cases, people know who you are. But when people use fake names because they haven't got the courage.
Yeah, because they're a bunch of cowards. It's kind of like the guy in the chat room.
You know, and they have to use a fake name. I've got a feeling that'll probably change to where a chat room, you're going to have to say who you are, and you're going to have to, because
yeah,
that's the only way to keep things in a position to where people that slander other people.
Yeah. They're great. They're brave when nobody knows who they are. They are brave crap talkers when nobody knows who they are.
Exactly.
Or in a group of people.
All we got to do is run an IP log on it, and then we'll know right where they're at, where they're coming from. And then we can just reach out a subpoena if necessary. I mean, that's basically all it comes down to. It's not that difficult. It's a simple program you can run. I'll talk to Carl about it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You know, I mean, that's the thing, because none of this really started until a few weeks ago. I mean, there was, you know, there was stuff that was said, but it was maybe a little off color, but it wasn't derogatory. And most people weren't really going after other people in a way that they were making accusations or using foul language, lots of foul language. those kinds of things. And that wasn't happening. That just was not happening.
Hey, it's just like right now. You're going to prison. You know that, right, Terry?
Yeah,
I mean, they're just throwing mud.
The thing is that there's a lot of people that don't know what's going on with them too. I mean, they really don't. A lot of people don't know. But the point is that the real deal is that you know, all that stuff, when you see those kinds of things that pop up like that, and people can say those things about you, that never happened before. And KCR's been in the chat room for a long time. And, you know, those things did not happen. And they just started happening, coincidentally, about 8 weeks ago. At the same time as another event.
Terry, basically,
and you really wonder who's tied in with who, don't you?
What it comes down to is for these people who we talked about in the JP video a little bit, the keyboard warriors that pleasure themselves. What it comes down to on this
did you
is,
say pleasure themselves?
Yes, that's what he said.
He's crossing the line.
David.
What?
That must mean they're probably eating ice cream while they're talking, right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That's what he meant.
That's exactly what I meant. I mean, they take a great deal of pleasure in their keyboard. That's all. So the thing about it is that for them, we've become their Trump. And they now have derangement syndrome towards us, and they start attributing all of their negative symptoms.
Well, it is. You're right. I think you're right, because they can't take any personal responsibility for anything. All you do is blame everything on someone else, you know, whether they don't have a job, you know, whether they're in lockup, you know, whether, you know, they blame that if they got the disease on somebody not wearing a mask. You know, they don't blame Wuhan for sending it out. They don't blame Fauci. They don't blame anything. They don't blame themselves for not taking care of themselves. They don't blame whatever it is. Anything that's wrong in their life is someone else's fault.
But the biggest thing that I think on it is why give it any attention? I mean, these people are basically, they're trolling the chat, and they're just trying to get attention. They're trying to change the topic, and they've been successful at it. So as long as we allow them to be successful at it, they're going to continue doing it.
Well, the only answer is to just completely ignore them, because they never answer a question. They never talk any straight. They don't tell the truth. Everything's in some kind of a nebulous accusation to make you think something is wrong or change the narrative. It's all complete BS, you know, and lies. And you get tired of it because they're little people with small minds that have no backbones, that don't care about, you know, the country, don't care about anything but their own little world and their little safe space snowflake frickin' closet in front of their keyboard.
Hey, Mark, have you ever noticed that no one ever talks about you? Have you ever noticed that?
Because I have. I was always wondering about that. What?
That's not true. They do.
What?
Wait a minute. Is he the fool?
Don't they realize that you're the flower?
I feel like saying a poem like by Henry Gibson now or something, you know? It's like the flower.
I know, they've attacked both of us. They have.
They've attacked you. Well, with good reason.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody wants to attack Linda.
And they attacked me today, too.
Well, they're off on Travis today. They're really on Travis.
Well, you know, a good example is that, you know, the article they wrote about us. And they got every fact that they could possibly get wrong. You know, let's see. They said Dave has been here from the beginning. He was like 3 months on. You know, I think they got him confused with Red Smith, who wasn't there from the beginning either. And then they said that Linda was my wife.
Yeah.
My sister.
Sweet home. And we had dark money.
Well, that was be afterwards.
Oh.
Okay, sorry. But what I'm saying is, for somebody who's supposed to be this journalist that has won high awards across the country and is beyond reproach.
Who won those?
Yeah, exactly. Never got one frickin' fact right because, you know, a journalist is supposed to do the, you know, oh yeah, exactly. A journalist is supposed to do the who, where, what, why, and thing, you know, and get the facts right before they start, you know, going any farther. And she didn't get one single fact right.
It's intentional. I mean, really what it comes down to is the media and the corporations that are behind them, even locally, They basically, they all just spin the same narratives to just try to turn around and make it appear as though everything that's good is bad, and everything that's bad is good. And that's really what it
comes
down to. Well,
it goes back to the vampire in New York thing with Eddie Murphy. You know, he's up there talking like he's Al Sharpton, and they say, hey, you know, if it wasn't for evil, there'd be no good. Therefore, evil is good. You know, I mean, and the crowd goes wild. They're so screwed up that they've changed the meanings of the words to think brave. Cowardice is brave, and good is evil.
This has been going on forever. Look at our heroes for a minute. Look at Batman. Look at the most recent one, Dark Knight, in the series behind it. Joker was the flipping hero on it. Prove me wrong. Because you look at Batman, doesn't like guns, doesn't want you to have self-reliance, doesn't want you to go out there and do anything for yourself, wants you to be reliant on Batman. Look at what the Joker did. Joker, very first thing in the movie, he turns around, pulls up with a bus full of criminals. It's a mob bank. Takes out the mob bank, kills all the criminals who's with him, literally wipes out over half of the mob's money in this super corrupt city, and wipes out all the criminals that did stuff with him, and then got the mob in line. Joker was the hero. Batman was the villain.
But Batman had a cool voice.
Pick on Batman.
No. Well, I'm going to let you guys go.
All right, thanks for coming.
You're all amazing. You guys are amazing patriots, and go get them.
All right.
Thanks, and with that, we do have another caller. We've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori. Are you there, Lori?
Lori, you're on the air.
Go, girl, go. Are you there?
Well, you should call back.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So this is one of my thoughts that I've been thinking. and it's going to be a controversial one. So
I'm shocked.
No, really?
I'm scared. That really means I'm brave. But when I said I was scared, I meant I was brave.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
I know. I'm not sure what kind of flower I want to be this week.
Yellow one.
No.
All right. Let's get back to it. This TA thing is a huge
purple issue.
A yellow one.
How about purple?
He said what kind. You guys were selling out colors.
Oh, I just wanted to throw out yellow ones.
Yeah, racist. Flowers have names like rose or poppy or tulip. Or
petunia.
Petunia.
Purple haze.
What would a racist flower look like?
That's LSD.
What would a racist flower look like? Wouldn't that be a white flower?
Oh.
Are you picking up on the daisies? I mean, picking on them? I mean, really?
Hey,
the daisies?
All I can tell you is don't eat the daisies.
Daisies are white.
All right.
Okay, we got you off track now. We scrambled your thought process.
All right, so the DAs. This is what we're seeing across the board is we have these evil, corrupt DAs that keep getting elected with literal dark money from people like Soros and the rest of it, and or otherwise just these big super PACs. And the DA is like a choke point for justice. Because if the DA doesn't take the case, doesn't matter how much investigative reporting a police officer does, and doesn't matter if the police officer is just trying to do his job under the Constitution.
They have what's called prosecutorial discretion.
Mm-hmm. And so what are we seeing come out of this? We see places like Portland that have these DAs that will prosecute anybody who is on the right to the full extent of the law, and they'll send them away for 10, 15 years. And we see that these Antifa rioters and BLM protesters that are literally saying that, oh, it's a great thing that person just got shot and he was a Trump supporter, he was a fascist, and we need to kill more people like that. That's fine. That's good. And we're going to let these guys walk with the exception of if they mess with our government buildings there. It's fine to do anything with the exception of the government. Here's my thought. Maybe we should have two DAs. Have the wokest DA you want and have the most conservative DA you want, and either one of them can choose the case. That way, we get mutually assured destruction within justice.
That's kind of a novel idea. That'd make a great TV show. Wouldn't that Starsky and Hutch, woke DA!
I mean, basically, that's what it comes down to. I mean, so, all right, you're not going to prosecute the social justice warriors that are burning down the businesses. The conservative DA will, and they'll all go to jail. All right, sooner or later, nobody's going to be on the street.
Everybody goes to jail. I like it.
But the main issue is who do you cast in those roles?
Right.
And how do you tell? No. Because it's just like what we got now currently. I'm a conservative Republican.
Mitch McConnell turtleneck?
I better leave.
All right. We just got Lori back on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, everyone. Yep.
There's a lot to cover. I think the two remedies for the chat room invasion attack is if we do a planned ignore and just ignore that they're saying these hateful, spiteful, ugly, evil things, they'll just multiply and breed.
Until they get over the line.
More people typing, and it will just be congested. And it's not fair to Travis and all the other people. The only remedy at this point is just, and I don't think this is a huge issue for conservative folks, is to use your real name because we don't hide. We don't need to.
How about if we dox everybody?
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, in closing with this point is that yesterday's Common Ground show, I'm going to look up the archives, once again slandered. I will be contacting Carl Bott, the station owner, about what happened yesterday. I will be contacting Nathan Eugene Pinckney, his attorney, because this is getting out of hand. They're identifying another woman, I won't say her name, it's JMS, as the person that was acting up at Sprouts, not me. Yet they still continue to do this. So they're just stepping in it. They're lost. They're
I just think these guys are going to self-destruct. They already kind
they
of
are.
Are. You know,
and that's why I'm not going to, as you kind of mentioned to me recently, Mark, is, you know what, I'm not going to spend the bulk of my precious time chasing these losers.
Yeah, focus on positive stuff instead of chasing the loons.
Oh, I do. But you know what? I have a license, and this is not okay to have them dox and harm and berate and slander and lie to anybody else, because it's not just about myself. It's what they're doing to many people. So getting to the Board of Supervisors this week.
These guys are like walking up to, you know, a big conservative on the playground and spitting on him. And then when they get their face smashed in, they go, look, he's violent.
Yeah, very much provoking people.
Yeah, that's
they
all
have
doing.
Something so wrong with them. It's just, and this is why they never have a coherent comment, a debate. Anything to go further. All they do is just slam away, jump and run is what I call it.
Right.
So for this coming week's Board of Supervisors, I looked at the agenda. There's only one R1 listed, and that's where the clerk of board has something about the anniversary of the Korean War and so forth and so on. Remember, folks, Chair Comente can add and change and shift like he did last time with the yellow card, public comment cards. How much time do we waste with that? And they're not mandatory. They are not a must requirement. And the posters, this is something, listen up, folks. When he, meaning Joe Comente, in the beginning of the meeting, ordered, suggested, asked, or directed citizens to take down our banners, which are not signs, they're not posters taped to the wall, and they're the appropriate size that he was demanding, inferring, requesting, or whatever he put together to smash our 1A, he was having the Securitas people take it down with some other woman from the left side, undoing our property. So that's a big problem. He should have ordered, asked, and requested the sheriffs that are there, paid as law enforcement, to go ahead and touch our property.
You know, here's the thing, Laurie. I think that Joe, Curly Joe, Little Joe there, is squirming in his chair because he's starting to see that the writing is on the wall. And his power is in danger of losing its effect. Because people are jumping into the fight and going, you know something, we have enough of these guys. You know, they say one thing, they do another. You know, they try to change all the rules to suit their purpose. You know, they lock everybody out of the Board of Supervisors room. They, you know, and for me, the most sophomoric event that ever occurred, probably in the history of all counties, was when they removed the seats. I mean, who does that? A freaking high school freshman, you know? And so you got to take these guys with a grain of salt. And I wouldn't get too hung up in all that stuff. What I would get hung up into is going out and making sure we have enough signatures to recall these guys and making sure that the campaigns are successful so that when we vote that they're gone.
Yeah, we have enough work to do.
Well, I
will leave you with a positive resource, friends. Okay. And I heard this on Larry Elder the other night. There's a citizensforfreespeech.org. It's all about these force masking, and that freedom of speech involves understanding people. So if you have somebody in a mask or two and you are having a challenge understanding what they're saying, so you have to keep repeating, that's a part of free speech, because part of free speech is to understand and hear. If you take away my phone or you take away the radio or any other device, you are now impacting. It's like censorship. When Zuckerberg and all the rest are taking away my capacity to hear the full story, that's affecting 1A. So it's called citizenforfreespeech.org. And in closing, they have another option where if you go to a restaurant that's face-friendly, they don't make a big scene and a big deal because we don't know what's going to happen with these mutations.
You know, Lori, I would love to have this same type of conversation with anybody on the left, but you can't do it.
They're not. They're bashing us right now.
Again, what they're doing is it's all about anything but the topics.
Nope,
they ignore facts. They won't talk, have a civil discussion. If you don't agree with them, then you're some kind of denier or you're crazy or they change the subject. That's the problem. You know, all they do is throw stones and you can't have an honest, you can't have an argument. You know, what the old saying is only an idiot argues with an idiot because you can't argue with an idiot because he's an idiot. You know? And that's kind of where we're at.
Well, if they do call in, they'll either hang up or they'll stall or they'll be off topic and they'll just eat up your precious minutes.
Exactly.
And this is their tactic. So I'm really sorry this is at the level, but they're exposing themselves.
And they can just keep on
trying to be all.
Well, it's stupid. It's like the recall already. It's like the recall already failed. We're a week in.
And how do they know Bo Diddley?
Exactly. The recall already failed, except we only raised
a lot of money last night.
And a lot of money the time before, and there was a bunch of people there, and we're getting, and I've been on the ground walking out getting signatures every single day, the recall's not really failing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, just I don't know what the real answer is for these folks, but they are desperate. And this
the real answer is ignore them, and they need to go get some more medication, and they need to do some self medicating because then they'll feel better.
Or go to an island.
Trump already showed us how to handle these people. I mean, Trump already did this with the media the entire time.
Yep.
He just called them out
doing
it.
They're fake.
You just hit them with the facts on these things. It's like over there when Hillary's over there. I'm really happy we don't have a temperament of somebody like Trump in office because you'd be in jail.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
I mean, you basically just turn it into a meme based on what they have.
I can't wait for this audit out of Arizona to come in the next few days, and let's see how honest the election really was. Let's see what happened. You know, and I'm not going to prejudge, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, this is going to open up some eyes, and we'll see what happens.
Spot on. Same with the Fauci emails.
Yep.
The
election, with everything.
All of this is imploding. It's dissolving. Yep. And it's blowing up in their face. And now they're just throwing each other under the bus, or they're acting up like children right now.
Right.
They still deny irregardless.
Thanks for taking my call, you guys.
All right, thanks for calling in, Lori. We appreciate it.
No, this is the interesting thing. So they still deny, irregardless, every single fact that comes out. It's like the Fauci emails. They end up getting those Fauci emails first, and they start painting it like it's this beautiful narrative of a picture, and then they start, once again, slandering all the news outlets.
Right.
NewsGuard says that the New York Post, the oldest place.
Like, it's like house training a dog. You can't reason with him. You just keep rubbing their nose into it till they don't want to get their nose rubbed in anymore, and then you throw them outside.
Well, and this is honestly why I think that we're headed for civil war.
I don't know.
I think so, because here's the thing. We've got Missouri government to sign bill protecting state from any Biden gun grabs. We've got Texas, which is doing the same. We've got all these other places which are basically saying we're not operating within the scope of this basically illegitimate laws from these governments anymore because they're infringing on the constitutional rights. And then you've got other states which are going full bore for, hey, let's do mass mandates. Hey, let's do vaccine passports. Hey, let's do all the rest of these things. And you're going to end up in a situation to where you have, once again, states that comply and states that don't comply. And it's this bickering point back and forth.
Time will tell. I mean,
I'm sorry. I want to change the subject because we don't have a whole lot of time left.
Let's do something positive.
I want to talk about the fundraiser last night, and I want to give lots of thanks.
Kudos
to so many people out there that helped make this what it
possible.
Was. It was a great crowd. There was a lot of people there. We made good money.
And I want a gun!
Again, really, huh? Which one did you get this time?
Another shotgun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Want to sell one of them?
But
maybe.
But like I say, there were so many people that made this happen and possible. Everything was great. The food was great.
Yep. A
lot of patriots. And also there was people
Mike and Jim
there.
Bill out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Patrick Jones. You had
Chad and Melody.
Melody,
Flowers.
Melissa,
they were great.
You know,
everybody.
Regina.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on, Ronin.
There's so many. And there was patriots from other counties. Now, this tells you the magnitude to me of what a recall is about, is you got people coming from other counties to see what we're doing and exercising our rights.
Chris Kellstrom.
Yeah, you know, so that they can do it in, maybe in their own county.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to make the travel time to come support us. That's a big thing.
Right.
You know, because people don't realize, they say, oh, you don't have the support. You know, there's not that many of you. Well, when you have people start traveling distances to support you for your right. recall, yeah, I think there's a little
well,
something
you know,
there.
And,
you know?
And that's what it's about. It's about the support. You know, I'll tell you one thing that I've heard about this that I can see why people are coming out of the woodwork is, you know, Modi's been in government now for, what, 30, 40 years? Let me tell
you. Like 2003 or something?
He has screwed over a lot of people. There is a lot of people out there that are mad because Modi has, I mean, one thing or another, I can't name any instances off the top of my head, but almost everybody I talk to about that goes, you know, had some kind of a thing that happened because of Modi, or Modi did this, or Modi did that, or, you know, how he double dips on his salaries, mm-hmm. and double dips on his pension, and double dip, you know.
It wasn't the first thing.
And, I mean, the censor, you know, yeah. take your pick. You know, there's a ton of things going way back. You know, he got removed as chief of police by a unanimous vote of the city council because basically what I was told is he's an a-hole. I mean, so that in itself is enough to get rid of you. Because if you got enough people out there that are going, this guy's a jerk, okay? I mean, I bet you money he's the guy that come up with the idea to remove the seats.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of person this guy is. Is it's about vindictiveness. It's about you know, displaying his authority. That's exactly right. Yeah. And so
I was chief of police.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But the real deal is we need a change. We need to get the going in the right direction. We haven't been going in the right direction financially, if nothing else. I mean, we are being spent into oblivion. It's all about the money. They have done nothing about the pensions. You know, all the people that are in civil service and in government, you know, and in CalPERS, they got some real problems coming down the pipe.
Yeah, and where's the audit? You know, I hear transparency for Modi.
I'll tell you what.
Give us transparency at the county level.
There's going to be an awakening. These people that are woke are going to be awakened if the stock market crashes and the interest rates go up. Because you know what's going to happen to their pensions? It's going to go poof.
Well, and their pensions are already going to do that. I mean,
I know.
We talked about how they're trying to make it to where, actually, they've already made the deal to where 40%.
We did that in Loyola.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing is that they're guaranteed by these local communities at this point, and the only other way out is going to be for the local communities to file some kind of a bankruptcy or some kind of a haircut plan, because otherwise what's going to happen is all the tax money that's going into these counties and cities and so forth are going to be going towards pensions for people who don't even work. What about the rest of the services?
Well, it's like their latest thing that they're talking about. All right, you won't get welfare, you won't get Medi-Cal, you won't get any of the rest of these things, but we want to give you a guaranteed monthly income of like $1,400 a month.
Well, that
can be for everybody.
This universal income is what they want. They want universal income for everybody. But what happens when everybody gets an income and nobody wants to work? You're kind of seeing a microcosm of that right now with the unemployment.
Well, we're going to see it get much, much worse over these next 3 months. Yeah. But then what we're going to see is you've got 33 million people, like we talked about earlier, that are on unemployment. And that's basically the equivalent of having three Arizonas. What's going to happen when all these people go back and start looking for work and there's only 7 million jobs that are available?
Right.
That still leaves two Arizonas, which are going to start rioting and demanding that they get income on a monthly basis guaranteed for the rest of their life.
Well, they don't even want to go back to work.
Well, you know, but that's crazy. You know, it reminds me of the parable about the farmer. Okay, here's the problem. You got the guys that work for the farmer. And yes, the guys that work for the farmer, what they want, they say, oh, we want more benefits and we want a retirement system and a bigger paycheck and more time off. And then yes, the farmer, what do you want? I hope it rains. See, they're living in la-la land. You can demand everything that you want, but when it doesn't rain and there's no crops, you can stand out in the field and yell at the top of your lungs all day long that you want more pay and more time off and more everything. And guess what's going to happen? Nothing.
Yeah, and what we're seeing.
And then
now,
you're going to try to take it from somebody else, and then you got a problem.
Well, the media blackout on South Africa. This is the same thing that we're seeing. We're about 6 years behind South Africa. In South Africa, they started going through and saying the white farmers are your problem. So guess what? After hearing that for 2 or 3 years, they started going out and killing all the white farmers.
Here's the difference. Okay, how many people voted for Trump? 80 million, 81 million?
81 million.
Okay, do they all believe in the Second Amendment?
Majority of them, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say pretty much most of them.
Say probably 60 million.
Okay, do you think that the other 70 million, 80 million, 90 million are going to be able to overrun that 81 million?
Not if you're in the ground. I'm just saying most of them were, you know, they weren't even a live vote. So I'm just saying. They're dead people.
Well, that's true.
I'm just saying.
I wasn't sure where you were going there at first. Not if they're in the ground, if they're dead. No. They actually didn't vote.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little bit like that joke to where you've got a cowboy, a Democrat, and an Indian that are sitting in an airport, and the Indian goes, "There was once many of my people, but now there are few." And the Democrat goes, "There were once few of my people, but now there are many. I wonder why that is." And the cowboy just goes, "Oh, I reckon it's because we haven't played cowboys and Democrats yet."
Pretty much. I think we're about at the end of the show.
Pretty close.
Don't forget, tomorrow is Flag Day. If you need to retire a flag, take it to Sportsman Warehouse. And American Legion Post 197 will retire the flag for you.
Perfect. I haven't heard the music yet, so I'm just talking.
It's right there. Yeah.
Remember, amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And you've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio.
And all good.
Go ahead.
All gun control is a racist.
And this has been KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.